Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
We have gone through creation and Adam and Eve in the fall. Last week we spoke about the Cain, who was of the wicked one, the devil, and slew his brother Abel. Made mention there too, the Bible assures us, or of the wicked one. 1 John 3 teaches us that Cain is, because he slew his brother, because his brother's works were righteous and Cain's were evil, and the other being Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. Made mention last week that some would say God hated Esau's sin. Does that mean that God loved Jacob's sin? God forbid. We're going to talk some about sin today as we get into this fifth chapter. God cannot look upon sin. Sin is direct rebellion and violation to God. It's a very serious matter. And you're going to see as we get through this and into the next chapter, the purpose of grace and what we have in grace. And the very fact that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ is the grace of God upon those the Father gave Him who are unworthy, an unmerited love and favor of God upon His people. That's the purpose of God. And the election of grace, God's people that He loved. He had no reason to love us because it pleased Him to. If He does, it certainly is not manifested to us. And if He does or did, He certainly has not chose to reveal it to us. He owes us nothing. It's all of grace. Genesis chapter 5, this is the book, and I ask for your prayers, of the generations of Adam. This fifth chapter is genealogy. This begins the book of the generations of Adam. We had chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, and it gives us the steps, the order in which God created the heavens and the earth, man being the last thing made on the sixth day from the dust of the ground, and the woman being made from the body of the man on the sixth day. That was the last thing created, and there has been absolutely nothing created other than the physical, the spiritual creation of Christ within you, making you a new creature. That came in Christ 4,000 years later. But this was speaking of the order of God's creation. Chapter 2 goes into detail on the creation of man in the Garden of Eden, and that brings to mind the place that God had prepared for Adam to dwell in there, which will bring us again, we'll visit in the sixth chapter with the ark that God had Noah build. And it all leads us to the church in the world that Jesus created. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, because God has always had a place for His people in this world. This is the book of the generations of Adam. This is not going to give us every one of Adam's children or grandchildren. This is going to focus on, there are 8 generations between Adam and Noah. Each one of these men will come from Adam and from Seth and will lead us up to Noah, who was the 10th of these 10 if we began at Adam. But there are 8 generations that we're going to look at very briefly in this chapter. God didn't give us all of Adam's posterity because it's not important in this text. What is important are these 8 that will bring us to the 8 souls of the promised seed that God would place upon the ark. God has always had a place for His people. And you're going to see when we get there, the remnant of God's people that were in the world, 8 people out of all mankind that God would save by water from the wickedness of this world. This is the book of the generations of Adam, the day that God created man in the likeness of God made He him. Adam was made good and upright. Male and female, man and woman, created He them, and blessed them and called their name Adam and the day when they were created. Day number six. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Cain had killed Abel. Abel was dead. It's manifested that God had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice. Hebrews 11 teach us that Abel's offering to God was in faith. God respected the offering because God respected Abel. Abel had faith. The natural man has not faith. Cain did not have faith. Abel was born of the Spirit of God. The faith is a fruit of the Spirit. If you are not born of the Spirit of God, you cannot have faith. Cain had slew Abel. Abel was dead. His spirit with Christ above. That is the way it has always been with any one the Father gave the Son. When they leave this world, their spirit, which is immortal, is with Christ immediately while this mortal body is laid to the ground. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. God made man good and upright. He was righteous. There was no sin in the world. He was innocent. And if you want to use the word perfect, I'll have that too. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. This is shortly after the death of Abel. The name Seth means appointed. Appointed of God. This brings us back to the purpose of God, the election of grace. God is not a man. He cannot lie. He need not. He repent. He cannot die. What God says is and will always be, yea and amen. Absolute, solid, the word of God, the will of God. God had purposed a seed, as he said to the about the serpent seed and the woman seed. The serpent seed, those whom Satan had planted the seed in. Those left in their natural state of nature, because God also had a seed. Those he gave to the Son, whom God plants the seed in. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The life that we have. Regeneration. Birth of the Spirit. Any way you want to say it, as long as it's true. Adam brought forth a son in his likeness. As Adam was made in the image of God, good and upright, Adam had rebelled against God, transgressed the one law that God gave him, and Adam fell. By one man, don't blame this on God, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Adam was our federal head. Adam was the first man God created. He sinned. He fell from that innocence. His eyes were opened. He knew he was naked. He desired to be as God, knowing good and evil. He fell from where God had placed him in blessing and innocence. Sin and death entered the world, and Adam was now a fallen creature. As he is our federal head, we inherit sin and death from him. I've got every type of arthritis known to man. My brother does also. Joshua has it. Ben's blessed. He got Linda's genes. He doesn't have arthritis. I say that to make the point. My daddy's got arthritis. I got it from him. Well, guess what? Adam is a sinner. Therefore, every man, woman, and child that comes forth in procreation in this world is a sinner because of Adam. We're all born, we're all by our very nature, let me say it that way, because we can be born of the Spirit in the womb as John the Baptist was. But we're all sinners by our very existence in nature. So the man that was made in the image of God when he fell brought forth the son in his image. His image is sin, and that's what we are by our very existence and our nature. Adam lived 130 years, begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. This goes back to the purpose of God in the election of grace. The name Seth means appointed. God appointed a seed. God appointed a seed. We can say he appointed it to the woman, if you please. I'll have that in a context of an idea.
But I'll tell you who God appointed the seed to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, those whom He came into this world to die for. Nothing can stop that. Nothing can change that. Nothing can alter that. He died for the sins of His people. He made each and every one holy of that blame before God the Father in love, period. They will inherit heaven and immortal glory, period. Do not care who they are or what they did on this earth, period. They shall and they will inherit heaven and immortal glory with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for eternity, period. That's the purpose of God. Adam brought forth the Son in His image and called His name Seth. That means appointed. They are appointed of God. What does Paul say? The Lord has not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, I believe. In the days of Adam, watch what happens. In the days of Adam, and once again, this is eight generations between Adam and Noah. There's a purpose the Scripture gives us in Noah. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son his own likeness after its image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Make a quick note here before passing. Men lived a long time then. There was a firmament of water around the earth which shielded us from the UV rays of the sun. And the sin has grown more rampant. I didn't say it began. It's manifested more. In my mind, I have fallen farther and farther away from God each day that I've lived because my nature is sin. One day this sinful body will be laid to the dust of the earth from whence God created it, and I will have no more sin. And in that aspect, we have grown farther and farther away from God and into sin since that time. The point I'm making of the years of man's life, God set that at one point in time to be 70, which is 70 years. Sometimes we live longer. Sometimes we do not live that long. There are different thoughts and ideas on why a man lives not near as long as he used to. The result of that, no matter what the cause or the cause of that, period, is sin. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 507 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Just as Adam. And he died. The wages of sin are death. Adam transgressed the law of God, the wages of sin or death. Here is the death of the natural body, the temporal body, the mortal body, which we inhabit while we live here in this sin-cursed earth. Death, death. You're going to see that through each and every one of these men. The result, you're going to see it in every man, woman, child that's ever come forth from the posterity of Adam, except for two. The Bible references us. One is Enoch, the other is Elijah. We'll get to Enoch in a moment. But listen. Listen, they died because they're sinners. And our federal head, Adam, is a sinner. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. They are populating the earth. They're living a long time. This is another reason for man's length of days. There were two people God created. Everybody else that ever came into this world in existence was born from Adam and Eve. There were two people. The whole earth would be overspread with two people. When we get to the flood and the point of the flood, this world is going to be about 1,600 years old from creation. They were multiplying. They were being fruitful. They were replenishing the earth through procreation. And it was full of sin, because we're all sinners. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years, begat Mahalalel, and Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. He's procreating. He's multiplying. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. Time out. Let's explain some things. during this period of time because Cain had slain Abel. You remember that God had set a mark upon Cain. I told you last week, some say that was a horn, some of them fought on his flesh. In my heart, I believe that mark is revealed through Scripture as a reprobate mind of the natural man. We can read about that in Romans chapter 1 and the reason for it. We'll get into that in Genesis 6, maybe a touch more, if the Lord keeps it on my mind. In the days of Jared, the seed of Abel, the posterity of Seth, had settled on Mount Hermon. This comes from history. This comes from Jewish history and Arabic history. We were not there to write history at that time. And if we did, with our people, it would probably be corrupted. Because it's changed to suit the needs of a few from time to time. But Seth's posterity was upon Mount Hermon. In the days of Jared, the name means descending. One writer says that it points to slavery. And I would take that because they descended into slavery, not slavery to chains or a man or anything physical, but these people who were descendants of Seth, who teach us of the born-again children of God, who were walking with God and worshiping God in the way that God would have them to do so, had been lifted up in the presence of God. They were on Mount Hermon. Every time the Bible speaks of God's people in Israel going back to Egypt after they were delivered from that bondage of Pharaoh, the Bible always uses the term they went down into Egypt. The seed of Seth teaches us of God's people being lifted up in the presence of God. When Moses was called into the mountain to see God, he went up into Mount Horeb. Some people say that is Sinai. That's not exactly true. They're twin peaks on one mountain. God called Moses up unto Mount Sinai. That represents scripturally being called up into God's presence. We're going to see in chapter 12 where God called Abraham into His presence. He was called up in the world in the presence of God, for we cannot come to God. We are called of God. Sinai is where God gave the law to Moses. That's a little bit different than being in the presence of God only, but being given instruction of God and given the law of God, which, by the way, since we're all sinners, we've all broken, which brings us to Revelation 14 and the Mount Zion upon which the Lamb of God stands, and that's another day and time. But my point with telling you that is they were lifted up in the Spirit of God because they were born of God. This is speaking primarily of the seed of Seth, and they lived upon Mount Hermon. The name Jared means to descend. The slavery they would descend into was the sins of the flesh. The reprobate man made mention last week that God separates His people from the world. Christ hanged between two men. The man, I believe, on His right side, because He will set the sheep on His right side, had been ridiculing the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross just as the man on the left side. They were both criminals. But all of a sudden, there wasn't a preacher, there wasn't a Sunday school, there wasn't a prayer group, there wasn't a man around, but the two that hang beside Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden there was a change in that man on his right, and he went from ridiculing and railing against the Lord Jesus Christ to praising Him and asking Him to remember him when he came into His kingdom. The answer to the Lord Jesus Christ is, verily, that means truly, I will say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That change came through Jesus Christ. That change came through the Spirit of God. Christ separated His people from the world. We saw separation in that day. This is nothing new. That's why God made Eden. That's why God gave the land of Canaan unto Abraham. That's why we have the church today. To be separate from the world. to walk with God, to worship God. It's no wonder, I believe it's Peter said, they think it's strange that you run not in excess of riot with them. The ungodly, the natural man, wonder why we do what we do. It makes no sense to them. They hate it and they hate us because of it. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because his works were righteous. You think it's going to be any better with the child of God today in the sense of being hated by the world? God forbid. God has quickened you. God has separated you. God has made you holy, sanctified you. But the seed of Jared came down from Hermon back into the place. And by the way, Hermon, it is believed, is where the Lord, Matthew 17, went up to high mountain apart and was transfigured between Peter, James, and John, those fine gentlemen. Ha, I trow not. Rough, brash, impudent, hardworking fishermen. They came down from Hermon and they intermingled with those they had been separated from. Does this bring us in mind of natural Israel wanting to go back down to Israel where they had left? Does this bring us to mind of natural Israel who would intermingle with the peoples that God would drive out before them and give that land unto them? It's no different. Religious historians call this an apostasy. The Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, calls it a great falling away. Before the day of the Lord, it's going to be a great falling away. If we're not in it now, I don't want to be here when it is, because I hate what it is now. It sickens me. It disgusts me. With myself first and foremost, and with society and the world around me. They came down from Hermon. They came down to the seed of Cain. They intermingled with them. And there was a great falling away. And Jared, where was that? And Mahal lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters, procreation, replenishing the earth. And again, this is showing us the seed of Noah. And all that are bringing us to Noah, not the seed of Noah, seed of Adam going to Noah, all coming through Seth, the man whom God appointed, a type of Christ, appointed of God. And all the days of Mahalalel were 890 and 5 years, and he died, and Jared lived 160 and 2 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. There was a great falling away. You want to use a modern word, an apostasy. God's children were falling to corruption. That's proven in chapter 6. Some people say everybody in chapter 6 of Noah, except Noah, went to hell. That is not the case. They weren't destroyed to hell. They were destroyed from off the face of the earth. We'll get there because of sin. The seriousness of sin. Our own existence being sin. But then we see the grace of God. Jesus Christ. And Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and begat Methuselah. The meaning of the name Methuselah is the end shall come when he dies. The flood shall come when he dies. Judgment would come when he died. They were assured that as long as Methuselah, the oldest living man in recorded history, as long as he was alive. Now this should go to the Arminian. This should go to those that preach repent to dead sinners. They had all this time, 900 and something years, I'll find it in a moment, to repent, and they did not. The natural man cannot repent. Godly sorrow leadeth thee to repentance that comes from being born of the Spirit of God. It is of God. You cannot repent of yourself. God works it in you. Glory be to God. Thank you for my Savior, Jesus Christ, who has saved me from my sins and led me to repentance. Put your name there. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. He was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. He lived 300 more years. He lived 365 years. He lived the same amount of years as there are days in a year. If you compare this to the ages of all these other men listed, he was cut down in the prime of his life. Lift our eyes above the cares of this world and realize the grace of God as we go in the next couple of verses. And Enoch walked with God. He sought to please God. He was a sinner because his father is Adam. But he walked with God. He sought to please God. He sought to worship God. He sought to honor God. All his ways were trying to please the Lord. You see there, preacher, he earned his salvation. No, he did not. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The Spirit of God within him caused him to do this, and he walked with God, and he was not. Why was he not? For God took him. He tasted not death. Hebrews 11:5 By faith Enoch was translated. He didn't die. God translated him. God took him to glory that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I've heard people say Enoch had to die, otherwise he would not have any part of the resurrection. Brethren, read what the Bible says when we think about things and pray. There will be people alive when the Lord Jesus comes back that are God's children. They're not going to die. When the Lord returns in the sky, for he will not step foot in this sin-cursed earth again, his work here is finished. But when he returns, there will be people alive and living. They're not going to die and be raised up. They're going to be changed. They're going to be translated. Enoch was translated that he would not see death because he had this testimony that he pleased God. And there was another one, Elijah, that rough old hard-nosed Elijah, and all his hair and all his camel's hair and all the stuff, the locust and wild honey. Can we take a picture of John the Baptist? And he was taken up into heaven, 2 Kings, I think, chapter 9, and a chariot of fire with horses of fire. He did not taste death. God took him to glory. And Enoch walked with God. I would to the Lord I could walk with God. Would to the Lord I could walk in humble obedience with every other mortal thought dead in me. But I am flesh. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, begat sons and daughters, procreating. And this man, great man, in all the days of Methuselah, was still a sinner, were 969 years, and he died. Because he is a sinner, I will die unless the Lord returns. Because I am a sinner. And this body of sin must be laid down and must pay for the wages of sin in the form of death. And for somebody somewhere says, well, we don't pay for death. Oh, yes, we do. We pay for sin daily. In this world, that's why we sorrow and have misery, and that's why we die, because we're sinners. Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah. The name pertains to rest, for he will give us rest. There are two types of rest that Noah brought. One is temporal, one is spiritual. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same Noah shall comfort us, God's people, concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. God had cursed them with Adam. The ground would not bring forth the riches that had in Eden. They would have to work the land with their hands. They didn't have a tractor supply to run down and buy a tiller. They didn't have a Massey Ferguson or Ford tractor to till the ground. They literally had to work it and weed it with their hands of flesh. Noah gave rest in that, as history teaches, just as these sons of Cain were inventors of things. Noah was an inventor of things and tools which one would use to plow the ground. What a difference from using a tool instead of your hands. Rest from using their hands in the plow, giving rest to their hands. There is also a spiritual rest that would be contained in Noah. Now, you can give God the glory for giving Noah the good sense to make a plow. And God certainly made everything the plow was made out of. If it was pulled by a mule or horse, God made that too. If it's pulled by a man, God made him. But letting glory given to God in that. But you understand, in this spiritual rest, everything that comes with Noah brought rest to the children of God. There were only 8 souls of the promised seed of all mankind. A very small remnant of God's people in creation that God would save by water in destroying everything that had the breath of life in it from off the face of the earth. Let's go back to Enoch and compare it with Noah. God took him in the prime of life. That's not a punishment in my mind. That is a blessing. Somebody said reward, but our reward is our inheritance, and that's all in God. That's all in Christ. God blessed him by taking him. He no longer had to walk among the ungodly. He no longer had to walk among the sin and death in this world. God took him, and he's in heaven in immortal glory with Christ in perfect rest. And we see a rest that would come in Noah where God would destroy everything that had the breath of life in it. That doesn't include fish and things of the sea. That's going to be everything God made for the man to use upon the face of the dry earth land. Creatures and birds and such. Well, let's go with the text. That gives us an idea of the rest that would come through Noah. Give that glory to God. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us, God's people, concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters, procreation. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And what happened? And he died. Sin and the result of it. And Noah was 500 years old. You read a lot of these things people say. They get into great debates over things that do not concern me because it's not in Scripture. If it was in Scripture, it may concern me, but God has seen fit not to put it here. I don't know how many other children Noah had. Don't know if he didn't have any children until he had these 3. It doesn't matter. What's important is the seed that God appointed and would come through Seth and through Noah and through Abraham and through all the seed and posterity of Jacob and Israel up to the day that we have, which is the church of the living God, including the Gentiles, which God chose from before the foundation of the world, that will stand in heaven and in immortal glory and worship the very Son of God Himself throughout all eternity, for He is worthy of our praise. Sometimes we get so big in our head, we think we're just so good to praise God, and we do it right. We need a praise and worship team over here. Teach these people how to pray. God does not need anything. We do not know how to worship God. We cannot worship God. God gives us it in the Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that is true worship. And visiting the loving, visiting the widows and fatherless in their affliction, that is true worship. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I think actually Japheth's the oldest. We'll get into that sometime. Shem would have been second, and Ham the youngest. Theologians, meaning today, have this twisted around. Shem comes in more importance because it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." Shem was more devoted to the worship of God in his family setting, which is how they worship. So it's given that Shem is preferred first in Scripture. And through Shem, the one who was devoted to God, would come Abraham and all his seed, unto which God would give the land of Canaan. Today, the seed of Abraham, and even in that time, but they did not know it, represents the believer. He who believes God. Who believes God? He to whom God hath revealed himself unto. Abraham was in the land of idolatry. God spoke to him. He heard God. Give that to God. God did that, and that in Christ, because there's no way to know God except by Jesus Christ. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's dispel some mythology. And it came to pass, as all things do, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that's been from Adam and Eve. Replenish the earth. Multiply. Be fruitful. Replenish the earth. The seed of Adam. Brothers marrying sisters. Then you've got brothers marrying cousins, whatever. Family growing. God suffered it to be. To populate the earth. Sin had not taken the effect that it has today. That's today brings forth diseases and sickness and mental disabilities. God suffered this. God suffered this for the populating of the planet Earth that He created. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Mythology, let me be very plain. Mythology, not true doctrine. Mythology declares that the angels of God, those that rebelled against God contained in 2 Peter, I believe, chapter 2, that God has reserved in the darkness of hell to the day of judgment, that they came to the daughters of men who were pretty and beautiful and mated with them and planted their seed within them, and they were with child. Let me be very plain and very blunt. Angels are spiritual creatures. Spiritual creatures cannot breed. Spiritual creatures do not bring forth children. It's not in the purpose of God. Things in this world, mankind, man and woman, and animal and fish and all the things that have the breath of life in it and all the things under the sea, in one way or another bring forth seed and breed. Nothing spiritual can breed with something mortal, something flesh. The only case in which this is possible is with the Holy Spirit of God, who overshadowed the Virgin Mary of the seed of David, of the tribe of Israel, that she would bring forth that holy thing which would be called the Son of God. That is the only time it has ever happened. It cannot happen any other time or any other place, and it will not happen any other time or any other place, and it did not happen any other time or any other place, only with God and the Virgin Mary untouched of man to bring forth the Christ child. Okay, so what are we talking about? And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that these sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. First of all, who are the sons of God? I've heard it said Satan's the son of God. I wouldn't have that. He's not an angel either. He's a cherub. Angels don't have wings. Cherubs do. Seraphims do. There's not an instance in the Bible of an angel having a wing or being a woman. They're always male. They're messengers or warriors, servants of God for His purpose, and they don't breed. The sons of God represent flesh, blood, creation. Not just created men, because there are natural men in the flesh who are not sons of God. There are sons of God who are in their natural state up until the time when Christ will give them life. When they hear the voice of the Son of God and they hear shall live. The sons of God are representing and are, in context of this, the sons of Seth who had separated themselves and gone up into Mount Hermon. But now in this time of, I'll use the word apostasy, or the great falling away of that day. There was a falling away in that day and God sent a deliverer in Noah. There was a falling away when Christ was born in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son. There was deliverance there. There's going to be another falling away. Paul tells us that in 2 Thessalonians 2. And guess what's going to come? Deliverance. The Son of God to carry His people home. The sons of God, the seed of Seth, whom God had separated and made holy, and we can call him by Seth because the Bible describes it as that. But if you want to get to bare knuckles, bottom line, foundation of it all, it's the seed of Jesus Christ, those that God gave him. The sons of God living in this world, saw, born the Spirit, separated from the other nations and peoples of the world, saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. First place, don't remember, we are to be separate. What's wrong with this country? What's wrong with God's people? We're bringing the world into the church. We're not separated. We don't need the things of the world. I don't want it in the church. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my mind because it would lead me astray because I am a sinner. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and they took them wives of all which they chose. This was not by force. This is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. This is as bad or worse than today. I would dare say worse because God is about to destroy the world because of it. But I don't have eyes to say that. I can't see that far back. I can't see everything today. But you can bet God does. The sons of Seth left Mount Hermon, went down, took the lasciviousness and filth of the natural man, walked with them, married them, bred with them, they conceived, and they brought forth children. That, my friends, God's children bringing themselves down is what brought the falling away. Don't dare blame this on the righteous God of heaven. He provided a deliverance. They saw they were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. What God tell them when they came into Israel, they came into Canaan? Do not intermarry. Do not mingle. Do not worship their gods. Do not be part of them. You're going to live among them. I'm going to drive them out. I will not drive them all out unless you say in your heart that you did it. You're going to have to fight a battle against them from time to time, but be separate from them. When we're not separate, we began to suffer. Take me. I can give you examples of my own self. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's different thinking on this with theologians. Some think it's talking about the spirit that God put within you being life would one day leave the body. And there would be no more strife there. For Paul tells us the spirit lusteth against the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit lusteth against the flesh, so that I could not do that I would. This flesh is sin. And the seed of Christ within you is righteousness. And I would have that. I would have that. I would not argue that point. But I believe what is being spoken of here, God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I believe what he's talking about is God placing the Spirit of God within you. The Spirit of God does not try. The Spirit of God does not attempt. The Spirit of God conquers your dead, alien soul and gives it life. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, with a flesh, with dirt. We're a worm. We're dust. But God puts life within us in Christ, and you are a new creature. Again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think God is looking at the birth of the Spirit of every child of God. I'm not going to strive them anymore. I'll put my Spirit within them. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. 1 Peter 3:18. I'm going to turn over there and read you something. 1 Peter 3, about 18. The next verse says, or the next sentence, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That's not talking about the lifespan of a man. It's talking about his days. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He's the just, we're the unjust. That he might bring us to God. How did we get there? He brought us. Being, speaking of Christ, being put to death in the flesh, he laid his life down, but quickened by the Spirit, he raised it up again. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I'm coming back to that, so hang on to it. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. His days should be 120 years. It took Noah 120 years to build this ark. If I believe the Arminian doctrine, and by the way, let me give you this. I had to look it up this morning. My mind does not remember like it once did. Jacob Arminius came forth in 1610, his doctrine of universal salvation, his doctrine that all men could accept Christ and believe on him and earn and gain heaven and immortal glory, was declared heresy in 1610, and it's still heresy today. And also, do you not find the work of Satan working through that man? I don't know if he's a child of God. I've never met him, got no proof one way or the other. None of my business. I'm talking about his doctrine. But then in 1610, Satan would be working on that lie while God himself was working through King James to give us the English Bible that we have. Now, let's go back. the 120 years while the ark was prepared. Let's go back to verse 19. I'll go back to 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Well, let's take care of another myth. Acts chapter 2, verse 27, speaking of Christ, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. People read this and will tell you that Christ went into hell in the days of Noah and preached to all those men, women, and children who were sent to hell because of their works, and gave them an opportunity through preaching to accept him or believe on him. That is a lie. That is a heresy. The text in Acts 2:27 is speaking of the body of Christ and the life of Christ, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, that means the grave, the borrowed tomb, for 3 days and three nights, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He was not in the grave long enough for the body to begin to decay. 3 days and three nights, and he came forth victorious over the grave. So what is those he visited in prison? Can't leave this off. Isaiah 42, I'll give you an example. He's talking about his servant, whom he opposed, his elect, that's Christ. I'll start in verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. What are we talking about over here? He that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, speaking of Christ, and will hold thine hand and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people. You cannot deny the covenant of the Godhead. For a light of the Gentiles. He is the light of your life. He is your life. He turns you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And then read verse 7. And this will give us the text of the prisoners. To open the blind eyes. We did not know God. We could not see God. God's children in the days of Noah walking in unrighteousness. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. The prison he visited were the children of God that lived in this world. Don't tell me a child of God can't do something wrong or sinful. He's just as capable of any wicked and heinous crime, except for the grace of God, of any other person. For the love of Christ constraineth us. What this text is saying in Peter is Christ, in the days when God was going to flood the earth, that Christ came to the children of God in this world and quickened them of the Spirit and gave them life. And because they're going to die, God is going to kill everything with the breath of life in it. And in order to be made right with God, they have to have the blood of Christ on them. In order to be made right with God, they've got to be changed from the death of sin that they're into life in Christ, and Christ gave every child of God in that day life, and every child of God that was upon the earth when God flooded it is in heaven and immortal glory with Christ at now. And there's absolutely nothing can change that. Let me finish this text. I got 3 minutes if I can. There were giants in the earth in those days. This is primarily speaking of those of the knack. I get tickled. There's a man played basketball down at LSU, Shaq. That's the biggest man I ever seen. He weighed like 13, 14 pounds when he's born. He looks like he's gentle as a lamb. I'm sure by looking at him and the looks in his eyes, he's a good fella. But he's so big. I mean, his arms are bigger than my legs. They're giants today. There were giants in the earth in those days. The knack guys. Joshua, after the flood, would drive them out of Canaan. There was a giant whom David would slay, Goliath. There were giants, big men. That's not saying they were sons of angels. Angels cannot breed. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which are of old men of renown. Well, they were big, good men. No, that's not what's being spoken of. That's not the context. The context is sin and corruption on the earth. These men that were born between the seed of Seth and the seed of Cain, some of them, not all, some of them were mighty men. They were men of renown. For what? For their wickedness, for their evil. We might fast forward to this world's time today and think of Adolf Hitler, a giant in the earth, not physically, men of renown, but giant power, could not be stopped, murdering millions and millions and millions of what he perceived to be God's children among those that are labeled Jews in the Middle East. It's nothing new under the sun. I'm gonna stop right there because I'm out of time. But I'm gonna tell you, we're gonna talk a little bit more about the corruption of man before we next week. And we're gonna get to one of my favorite verses of Scripture, and that's verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did you love God? Then you found grace in God. You didn't earn it, you didn't go looking for it, God gave it to you. Do you love God? Do you love the things of God? Do you have a family you love? Are you able to love in a biblical way? Then you stand in the grace of God. God's given you life. We have a Savior who brought grace, and that is Christ the Lord.